When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Get it, the Bird Show.
So Mo's got a podcast called In The Moment. It was detailing about one of his dudes just going into a straight panic.
It was insane. And this entire day, the way that it played out, it was funny because of the way that it ended. So one of my friends, he met a young lady and he was excited about her. He was hitting it off with her really well and really quickly. So he started telling me about the things that they were doing, the dates they were going on, and how he felt about her. And he was a bit taken aback because she had sent him some videos pretty fast. And I don't really want to go into details. Mm-hmm. You have to go to the podcast to get the full details of what were on these videos.
Sexy, sexy videos.
But sexy, sexy videos.
And they had known each other for how long now?
At this point, it was a couple months.
Okay.
Like, not too long, but long enough to where things are happening. Things are going really well, apparently. Right? And I'm like, all right, cool. I don't think much of it. I'm like, all right, great for you, man. That's awesome. I mean, I wouldn't look at it no type of way. She's really into you. Perfect. So we end up going out that same day. We go out that night. And it's him, it's myself, and Katie. Our producer Katie is with me. And we're sitting at the bar, having drinks, not thinking much of it. Then this couple walks in. She's a random couple. And for whatever reason, it became, like, really obvious that his energy changed a little bit. Like, this friend of mine has really great energy. He's always very happy, mm-hmm. in a positive mood, kind of turning everybody around you up. He's that person. So when his energy shifts, it's very obvious. You can feel it. And I think Katie had noticed it and then looked at me like, is he all right? And I'm like, I don't know what's going on with him. And I couldn't figure it out. Like, he just wasn't talking anymore. Everything shifted. And so this couple kind of stands, like, right next to us. They order a couple drinks. And then they, you know, they're a little awkward as well. But I'm still trying to piece together, like, what's going on. And I think I said something to him, like, yo, bro, you good? And he's like, yeah, I'm straight. But he was really short about it. So I'm like, all right, maybe something happened in his phone. He got a message that threw him off. Whatever the case, he clearly doesn't want to talk about it. He made that clear in that moment, so I wasn't going to push. So we're just sitting there. So after maybe 10, 15 really awkward minutes, the couple, they like chug these drinks. Like, they clearly wasn't trying to be there too long either.
Mm-hmm.
Chug the drinks that they got and just walked out. Like, they didn't even sit down, which was weird because there was a lot of empty seats at the bar. They could have sat down. Never sat down. Just chugged the drinks, walked out. So they walk out, and as soon as they walk out, he looks up, and he's like, hey, remember that girl I was telling you about earlier today?
No.
It was her.
No.
It was completely her. She walked in with another guy, and they locked eyes, and for that 20 minutes, so now that I know the story,
yeah.
I'm like, I can't imagine how awkward that had to be for you. He just sat there. So now I'm like, wait a minute. She just walked in with her whole boyfriend and didn't say anything? So he's like, what was I supposed to say?
And they've been dating each other for months. This isn't like a week or something. Wow.
Yes. Okay. And this man has video after video of her on his phone She never mentioned having a boyfriend at all.
What's the understanding between these two? Like, are they friends with benefits? Are they just hooking up? Is it leading to something? Like, did he think that this girl was going to be his girlfriend at some point?
Well, I think he was at a point of dating her where it was like, we'll see where it goes type thing. So they weren't like official, and he wasn't in that space with her, but he was enjoying her company and things seemed to be going well. But she certainly never mentioned having a boyfriend at any point.
If you're at the point in your relationship where you, and maybe I'm old-fashioned, crazy, but if you're in the point of your relationship where you're sending those kind of videos to each other, I mean, you're on a pretty serious, you're on a serious streak, right?
I would think so.
Yeah.
Like, I thought that meant something. But the fact that what threw me the most was that he didn't say anything. Because I would have had to say something. I don't know exactly what. But something would have been said. And the fact that he just sat there silently and just let that whole thing play out, and she obviously did too. She didn't say anything. She certainly wasn't going to bring it up.
I probably wouldn't. I'm not good in pressure situations, period. But in a pressure situation like that, I probably, depending on how much I had to drink in me, probably would have handled it the same way.
We were a couple drinks in at that point.
So like, he was a little on the buzz side?
Yes, absolutely.
Probably, if I'm buzzed, I'm probably going in, because when I'm buzzed, I feel a little bit taller, a little bit bigger. Like but if I'm sober, I'm probably like, I'm going to deal with this later.
But like, what is there to say? Like, are you going to approach the other man and be like, did she also send you that video? You know, there's really no confrontation you can have because you don't have like a official agreement. She's not his girlfriend.
Right. That's fair. It wouldn't have been about the other man to me. And I don't think I would have like said something to where it was like, oh, how could you do this? But I would have made it awkward for her on purpose because you playing with me and wasting my time.
No doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Get it. The Bert Show.
All right, so yesterday we checked with Messy Mikey while he was on his very first spring break. In fact, we've done it a couple of different days now. First day, he hits us up, he gets down to spring break, and he was so sober and so chill. I'm like, really? That's going to be this dude's spring break? That is not the way I remember it. Yesterday was a little different if you missed it.
Hey, this is Michael Jonathan Wakefield. This is me on the recorder, and what's it called again? What I do again is I did something. I did a thing. I don't know. I did something. I forget what it was. Oh, shit, I don't remember. I said the thing. For sure is. Wait, what was it again? I said the thing. Wait, hold on, just hold on. You know what I told him? Is that everything's gonna be fine and he had nothing to worry about? Is that what the hell I was doing? I don't know. I honestly can't remember right now. I'll send another voicemail in a second. I don't even know what the hell that is. What the F? Wait, oh shit. No, all right. No, it's all good. Yeah, we're good.
No, we're not, Mike.
I know how Mikey thinks at the end of that when he said, what the F? He thought he actually said the word and got nervous about it.
I got drunk just listening to that, I think.
That's exactly how he should sound on his spring break.
I will confess something, that I have had a similar conversation in the cage with my dog coming home from a bar one night. Literally crawled in the cage and had a talk with him. All right, so that was like yesterday. And then right after the show, I think dude wakes up and he's feeling so bad that he leaves a message for us. This is from yesterday morning after we played that.
Jesus. Well, I just woke up. I can't tell if I'm drunk or I'm hungover. My girlfriend's mad at me. That's a pizza I'm warming up. I am in critical condition. This is bad news. I don't know what I sent you last night. I'm not even going to listen to the segment, honestly. It's too hard to live through. I've thrown three water bottles. All right. See ya.
Have we not all been there?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I'm not sure what happened the night before.
Did you catch that? He said he drank three water bottles.
That sounds about right.
I think he's second guessing this whole thing because I think his family is really upset.
Oh, God.
All right. Hey, this is Michael Wakefield. I'm sitting out here by the beach. You can hear the waves crashing. There's some sketchy people walking by, and I don't want anything to do with them. So today, I took it easy. I'm sorry. I took it easy. I was hungover as a mug. I've burnt my whole body to a crisp. I can barely move. After last night's drunk diaries, I've pretty much disappointed my whole family. I'm feeling a lot of shame right now, a hell of a lot of shame. My mom is not happy at all. She offered to pay me $550 to not record another drunk diary. So I feel terrible about that. Today, I completed zero tasks. Zero. But, you know what? Believe you me, I'm getting bingo by the end of this trip. You can take that to the bank. My last task is getting a fake argument with my girlfriend, have her throw a drink in my face. She's pretty nervous about it, but we're going to get it done. It's happening. As of right now, this is all I've got to give to you. I feel bad for embarrassing my family, and it's just not worth it. I can't do last night again. That's it. I'm getting this bingo done. This has been Michael Wakefield signing off. I'll be seeing you.
He's not 100% sober yet.
No, he's not.
Every time he says his full name in these little clips, I can't help but picture his mom, who is now severely disappointed in him, sitting in the hospital bed, looking down and being like, this is Michael Jonathan Wakefield. He could be anything he wants. An astronaut, a scientist, and then we get Messy Mikey on the radio.
Or if we're in $550 for him to shut up.
He's
hilarious.
Now, to explain the bingo card thing to him.
So we have different tasks that we've charged Messy Mikey to do. One of them is getting in a fake argument with his girlfriend. I gave him one that I thought he could benefit from. I told him, propose to your girlfriend in a bar. Everyone's going to be buying you free drinks all night. So it's all these different things we've asked him to do on spring break. There's 9 tasks. He has to get 3 in a row on this bingo card for him to win $500.
Now, the one I submitted was the nasty version of what Abby did, which was the one he just picked, which was he's got to go into a bar and pretend to get into an argument with his girlfriend, and she has to throw a drink in his face, and we need to hear the audio of everybody there.
And mine was the complete opposite. I just wanted him to hold his girlfriend's hand and tell her how much he loves her in front of the whole bar.
Oh, crazy.
Get it? The Burt Show.
What's up, y'all? It's Mo. Thank you so much for listening today. And if you love what you heard, well, take a second to leave us a review, but only if it's 5 stars, of course. But why wouldn't it be?
All right, so we are circling back with Samantha. It's the sexy bridal,
It's the slutty bridesmaid's dress that won't go away.
Yeah, man, she doesn't know how to get out of this whole situation. Hey, good morning, Samantha. How are you today?
Good morning. I'm doing all right. I'm happy to be here to get some help.
Okay, so this is our third try at this. So as a recap, Kristen, when Samantha initially called us, her brother's sister suggested a bridesmaid dress that Samantha here did not feel was appropriate for church.
Her brother's wife, yes. She reached out and sent a picture of the bridesmaid's dress to all the bridesmaids, being like, hey, this is the one you're going to wear. And it has a very high slit. It is very cleavage forward. And Samantha here was like, no way do I feel comfortable wearing this, A, in a church, and B, in front of all of our family and friends, including grandma. Grandma doesn't need to see that much of my boobs. So we were going to have her reach out to the bride and say something. But before she even could, the bride responded. Apparently another bridesmaid had similar misgivings about the dress. And so the bride was like, so it's been pointed out that this might not be appropriate to wear in a church. So this is the dress we're going to wear for the ceremony. But then she followed it up with, I still want you to wear this dress for the reception. So now the bridesmaids are on the hook for not one, but 2 dresses. One, a more conservative one for the church ceremony. And then the second one, what we have dubbed the slutty bridesmaid's dress for the reception, which Samantha still does not want to wear. She does not want to wear that in front of family, and she's just personally not comfortable wearing that, period.
Just curious, because you seem astonished the last time we talked to Samantha that a bride would suggest wearing one bridesmaid dress for the wedding and then have a bridesmaid dress for the reception also. How often does that even happen?
Never. like, if you, unless you're like million-dollar weddings, like if it's like a super expensive wedding, I've been in 10 weddings. Nobody has ever asked me to wear two bridesmaids' dresses. I think that is just, that's asking a lot of your bridesmaids.
I think it's becoming more of a trend for bridesmaids to do it because it's becoming so much more popular with brides to do it. I feel like 15 years ago, you just didn't have two dresses. That wasn't a thing. Now with like Pinterest and Instagram and everyone seeing their friends have two dresses, it's becoming way more common, and I think it's just kind of starting to trickle down into bridesmaids having an outfit change too.
I'm all here for the bride to like have like a special ceremony dress and then have a fun party dress for the reception. Man, to ask your bridesmaids to shell out money for two dresses, if you wanted to cover the cost of a fun party dress for the reception and pick that tab up for your girls, by all means. Asking them to shell out for two dresses, that's asking a lot of your bridesmaids.
In Bertopia, there are no weddings. There are just elopements. You're not allowed to have a wedding.
That'd be perfect.
You got to go. Mm-hmm. Get out and do it yourself. Come on back and throw a party, but there are no weddings. All right, Samantha, so who do you want us to text today? And then we got to come up with a strategy, because if it's the bride that you want us to text, she could take this real personally very, very quickly.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the suggestion last time was to text her directly, and I agree. I think that's better than trying to pull my brother into it, because she might, I don't know, she might actually get offended, too, that I'm going, quote unquote, behind her back, when really it's her thing.
And, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. If the bride has made the request, you need to talk to the bride about the bridesmaid's dress, not her brother.
Right. Man, how do you say that without her feeling judged? And I think we had said that maybe we need to turn this into a, hey, this is a me thing. I'm just so conservative. Your dress is absolutely beautiful, but I'm either blank, insecure, or just, it's a me thing.
It seems like that would work. Like, she wouldn't take it personal if you make it clear that it's you that's uncomfortable and it's not her actual dress, right?
Well, I think especially with women, they're going to find a way to twist it to be in their favor. So whether we make it a money thing, I'll cover the cost. If we make it an insecurity thing, she's just going to throw compliments her way. So I feel like we just have to choose one of these strategies and prepare for it to fail, and then we can pivot.
All right, Abby, you were the one who was most recently in a wedding as a bridesmaid. How would you start this combo with the bride?
If it was me in this situation, I would pull the money card, because I feel like that's going to be the hardest one for her to argue with, unless she's going to cover the cost.
See, that's an easy fix, though. That's what I'm nervous about, is that if we use that initially, she can immediately, oh, I can't have that. That's no problem at all. If you're uncomfortable, I'll cover it. And then we've got nothing after that.
Or we could go in with the money thing. And if she says, if it works, great. If she says, I'll cover it, then we can go, okay, I'm sorry. I was embarrassed to tell you this. I just don't feel comfortable about my body in the dress. I wanted to, we can admit to using the money thing as a scapegoat, because we were too embarrassed to talk about how we didn't want to see our bodies in that dress, because it's, you know, we're super conservative and we felt shy and embarrassed about it. So then we've even pushed even harder that this is a very sensitive issue for her.
All right, Samantha, hold on 1 second. Give us a couple of minutes. When we come back, we will have a very strict blueprint, a strict strategy. And we will go into it, and we will start texting the bride, telling her that her dress is just, it's not comfortable for you at all.
Yo, okay? Skankalicious, I don't want to wear this.
All right, Bert Show's Text and Tutor coming up next.
I'm not a huge fan of spicy foods, but I do like a bit of spice in other areas of my life. Reality TV fights make it spicy. My margaritas make them very spicy. And when it comes to the spice cabinet you keep beside your bed, you got to have a wide variety of spices to keep things heated up. If you've been looking for some more flavor to add to your life behind closed doors, Adam and Eve can help you bring the heat with some fun new items to turn up the temp between you and someone else. Or if it's a single girl summer, there's plenty of options for those of you riding solo this year. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item, and they'll include free shipping and rush processing so you can spice things up ASAP. And you don't got to worry about your neighbors noticing your delivery. Adam and Eve ships things out in discreet packaging, so you and Deborah down the street don't have to make awkward eye contact when you get your mail. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item and select, just enter offer code Abby at checkout. That's ABBY at adamandeve.com. This exclusive offer is specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code Abby to get your discount. Code Abby.
Get it? The Bert Show.
Okay, so we are about to start our texting tutor for Samantha to her future sister-in-law. The sister-in-law has requested a couple of bridesmaid dresses that Samantha is just not comfortable in. She feels like it's not appropriate for a church. She doesn't feel like she'll feel comfortable in these. They're just too sexy for her. So the request here is we start texting the bride and somehow, some way, get Samantha out of wearing something that she's not going to be comfortable in that is way too revealing, right?
Correct.
Okay. So where do we want to start here?
Heavy sigh. Okay. Yep. So we're going to start with the classic mid-20s, early 30s texting response to any girl. Hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
And that's when you know it's going to go downhill. We're going to say, hey, girl, just wanted to bring something a little sensitive up with you about the bridesmaid's dress.
About the reception bridesmaid's dress.
About the reception bridesmaid's dress. Kind of balling on a budget. I don't really think I can swing two dresses.
Boom.
Should we add?
Okay.
Should we, hang on, before you send it, should we say just straight out, like, I've already got the ceremony dress. I want to know if you're okay with me wearing the ceremony dress to the reception.
Yeah, boom. Add that in.
Are you okay with the ceremony dress, or is that one inappropriate for you too?
No, the ceremony dress is good. I can handle that one.
Okay. All right. Okay.
Because all the photos generally are going to be in the ceremony dress. Like, they'll be before the wedding. So that'll be out of the way. So there won't be really any way, like, you won't stick out like a sore thumb at the reception.
No.
Right.
Yeah, family photos are either taken before the wedding or right after the ceremony.
Okay, I'm sending it then.
I feel like Mo and I are backing away from the mic.
Yeah, man, I got nothing. It seems so simple, though, that I'm excited to see how it won't be.
That's how it goes.
How complicated the ladies make this.
Yes.
Well, if you don't want to wear the reception dress, then you can't be a part of the group. I'm kicking you out of the wedding. What? No.
Bye. Oh, I'm so bummed.
I'm so bummed.
Okay. She said, hey, totally understand money being tight. I've got you. I'll pay for it.
Figured that was coming.
It's a nice friend.
Yeah. Better than getting kicked out of the wedding. Maybe.
Is it?
Okay. Plan B, which we had already planned for. So, Cassie, you almost hate to say the words plan B anymore. Plan B.
The backup plan. I would say that's really kind of you, because it is. I have to confess something. It's much more embarrassing for me to talk about. The money thing was just a ruse.
On top of the money thing. Not the money thing was a ruse.
Okay, on top of the money thing. And I don't know how to phrase this part, because I don't want you to hate on your own body. But you can either say, or you could just say, I feel very exposed in that dress and it's making me uncomfortable.
I think that works.
Exposed. That's basically saying it's a scandalous dress without saying it's a scandalous
exposed,
dress.
Exposed, I don't know about that word.
But then if you say, I hate my body in that dress, it'll be like, oh, you're Vinny.
What if we say something like, because I remember for the ceremony dress that I had to wear for my cousin's wedding, like, it wasn't supportive enough for me. So I wouldn't have wanted to wear that dress, period, to the reception, because I wouldn't have been able to have a good time in it. So maybe it's less of a body issue and say, I feel like I'm going to be self-conscious, or I feel like I'm going to be really uncomfortable dancing and having a good time at the party if I wear that one.
Well, and women, everybody knows there are some dresses that are flattering to your body and others that are not. What if you just say that dress isn't flattering for my body type?
Or what if you say that dress isn't flattering for my body type to the point where it's going to stick, I'm going to stick out like a sore thumb and distract people from you? Because I wore one of those bridesmaid's dresses and I got big boobs. And it was very, very distracting because it was not built for my body type. And so you just see these like globes in every picture and it's distracting. I'm trying to think of a way to spin it where it's in the bride's advantage, you know?
No, I get that.
Why can't you just say that you're uncomfortable in it?
Yeah.
That's not
never that easy, Mo. Okay.
Because then the woman is going to try to comfort you and say, nah, you look great in it, or I'm sure they're going to alter.
You're my friend. It's my special day. Suck up your discomfort for one day.
I think we can.
Yeah, okay. There was something about, like, I won't feel comfortable in it. It was like, oh, yeah, that's totally like, well, it's not really about you.
Yeah. So I would be like,
sheesh.
That dress isn't flattering for my body type. I wouldn't feel comfortable in it, and I don't want it to distract from your day.
Can't we just make up a lie? Like, she just converted to, like, a very conservative religion just for this one day.
It's just religion.
Yeah, it's just religion. Yeah, I mean, I think God would be cool with that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Use me wherever you need it.
God's okay with lying for this one.
Okay, so I have. That is really kind of you. I have to confess something on top of the money thing. I don't think that dress is flattering for my body type.
Finish it.
Okay. I don't think that dress is flattering for my body type. I wouldn't feel comfortable in it, and I don't want it to distract from your wedding day.
How about we end with, I really don't want to have a nip slip in front of grandma. Ha ha.
Oh, yeah.
That is perfect.
That's
that lightens
cute.
It.
Yeah.
Do you want her to read it back?
Yeah, just read the whole thing back.
Okay. That is really kind of you. I have to confess something on top of the money thing. I don't think that dress is flattering for my body type. I wouldn't feel comfortable in it, and I don't want it to distract from your wedding day. I really don't want to have a nip slip in front of grandma. Laughing face.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm fine with it if everybody else is.
Yeah.
Yep. We're going to send it. And then she's going to say back, we'll just get you the right bra. We'll just get you a bigger size.
Girl, you look fine. Don't worry about it. Grandma seen nipples before.
Yeah, right? If this doesn't work, I think we can go back to the religious thing. And just say that, how long does it take you to get your Jehovah's Witness license?
No, she's actually,
say that?
She's starting
I'm a Jehovah's Witness now.
She's starting her own religion. We're going to say that she's starting her own religion.
Can't be no more than a day.
It's got to be 24 hours. Can't you go to the Jehovah's Witness DMV?
Pick a number.
It takes several months.
It does?
Mm-hmm.
You actually have to get... I was joking. You have to get a license to be a Jehovah's Witness?
No, you don't have to get a license, okay. But...
what you got to do?
I want a certificate. I want to put it on my wall and
there's
stuff.
There's a Bible study course, usually in their home for several months. They'll be expected to attend meetings, must demonstrate a willingness to carry out the doorstep ministry. So it takes a little bit before you're going to get baptized as a Jehovah's Witness.
Okay, but you don't get a license.
No. I didn't Google that. I said, how long to convert to Jehovah's Witness?
God knows. He gives you your license.
Yeah. A detailed Bible study of anywhere from 6 months to a year is required to get an accurate knowledge.
Okay. She just replied. All right. She said, oh gosh, I think you will look beautiful in it. Ugh. Okay. Honestly, you are probably going to look better than everyone else, including me! Exclamation point. I wish I would look as great in a dress like that as you would. My gosh. Okay. I'm sure there will be no nip slip. We can get some of that tape that Hollywood stars use to keep things in place.
Yeah, I use that tape. That tape don't work.
Nope, it does not.
All right. Google Jehovah.
No.
Yeah, I got to just be straight up honest with her.
Yeah. I would be like,
I'm sorry. I love you. I can't.
Okay.
I feel like we got to be a little nicer. That's so sweet of you to say. Thank you for the kind compliments.
Thank you for the compliments. God does not agree with you. Yeah, thank you for the kind compliments.
But I'm just really not comfortable wearing that dress.
Yeah, I think we just got to be straight up and double down. Straight to the point.
Thank you so much for the sweet compliments. But I'm really not comfortable wearing that dress. Is there anything else we can add?
I think that's all we can say.
We might have to start tiptoeing into compromise territory. If you're adamant I wear the dress, can I please change the neckline?
Okay.
Is that an option for you? Or are we assuming that's an option for you?
Just cover it up with one of those little black ties.
And I mean, if she's going to buy me the dress, I guess I can.
Yeah.
I can be okay with that.
Seamstresses can do wonderful things. And depending on the fabric, I think you can get it altered to where you would be comfortable wearing it.
Or a neck brace.
Okay.
How about that? Say you're in an accident a couple of days before.
She doesn't need a neck brace. She needs a boob brace.
If you're adamant about me wearing that dress, and then...
Adamant comes across harsh. No?
Yeah. If you have your heart set on that dress.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
That's great. Okay.
Yeah. Do you mind if I get it altered?
Yes. That's so good. Okay.
Did you send that out or do you need to tell us it one more time?
No, let me read it back to you one more time. Okay. Thank you so much for those sweet compliments, but I'm just really not comfortable wearing that dress. If you have your heart set on that dress, do you mind if I get it altered?
Yeah. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she's going to be like, altered how?
Yeah.
And you can shorten up the slit in it. And we could do something some type of covering over the chest.
I actually wouldn't even mention the slit because I feel like you're not really going to notice if you take a couple inches off the slit.
No.
It's the neckline.
Yeah, because slits like fall on people's bodies so differently. I don't know that she would even notice that.
No. And if she does, she needs to be focused on other things on her wedding day. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Her groom.
Good point.
Not the length of people's slits.
She's going to walk around with a ruler. How high is it up on your leg?
Okay, I'm seeing the little dots, the three little dots she's writing.
How about the neck brace and a shoal? Can you do both of those?
Yes.
Okay, she said, okay, I think that might be okay to alter just a little. Let's discuss to have it. Okay, sorry. Let's discuss how to have it altered so you're more comfortable, but it still looks similar to the other girls. I don't want it changed too dramatically. I want the wedding party photos in that gorgeous dress and don't want you to look too different.
Mm.
Okay. All right. I guess we're doing this.
So what's going to have to happen is you and Sis, future Sis, are going to have to go get the dress and then go to the alterations place. And then this is when you're going to have to hold firm on what you're comfortable wearing.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So should I write something back to her? Like, okay, that sounds good. Or thank you. Or yeah. What do you think?
Thank you for understanding, comma. That sounds good.
Okay.
It's exhausting.
Okay. Thank you for understanding. That sounds good.
Okay.
That's great. Thank you folks so much. I really could not have done this without you.
No, you really couldn't have.
We agree.
I mean, we barely got it done for you.
How would you have joined the Jehovah's Witnesses without us?
Right. That was going to be the next step. All right. Good luck. Please let us know how it goes, okay?
Okay, will do. Thanks so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Listen. It's the Burt Show.
Burt Show has a major policy change to share with you guys here in just a couple of minutes that will sync up perfectly with this email that we just got, because she's in a relationship right now with a dude and is wondering, like, this could be a very, very, very rough year for us. How do we handle this going into a political year, a voting year? Abby's got the email.
I've been dating my boyfriend for about 4 months now. Things have been pretty great so far, but I think I need to break up with him. We've only had one fight, but it was enough to know that the next several months will be awful. So we've avoided this topic for about 4 months, but we finally had our first political discussion. It was ugly. I had no idea he and I disagreed in this area. We just never discussed it. It started as a small comment about something, and it turned into a massive argument. I'm really nervous about the next several months leading up to the election. I mean, is it even possible to date someone when you're on opposite sides of the political fence these days? After one epic argument, I'm already thinking I better hit the eject button. I really like him, but I know ending things at 4 months will be much easier than if they end in a year. I'd love to know if or how other couples survived the last election without going nuclear on each other. Is it worth trying, or should I just end things ASAP?
I mean, there seems like a pretty obvious answer here. If you care about each other enough, then you just say, you know what? We are never going to see eye to eye on this. You're on one side. I'm on the other side. We're not even listening to each other. Nothing's going to change. So you know what? In our relationship, in order to keep it healthy, this thing's off the table. Politics are just off the table.
But I would also argue, though, if you're getting in huge fights over it, it's not the superficial parts of politics. These are deep, like, things you morally connect to and on a foundational level of who you are, you believe in. And is that compatible in the long term?
I wouldn't see this as a reason to leave somebody, because I don't expect to see eye to eye with my significant other on everything. Some things you just gotta, like you said, take off the table. But at the same time, I feel like if you really genuinely like this person and want to be with this person, you wouldn't even consider leaving after something like this. So if you're kind of already in that space, maybe you should.
I think politics can be so contentious because we believe certain things because of our upbringings. And I think it's like a lightning rod for things that we've gone through in our childhood or things that we've seen in adulthood that matter to us or are important to us. So I think if you guys are having epic fights about it, I think it's probably showing that you guys probably don't align in a lot of areas, but it's easier to blow over because it's not actually going to affect your life. Whereas politics and our government, like, is going to affect everybody. However, it will give you some hope, because I had a crush on this guy who aligned with me more politically, and I knew he had gotten in a relationship with a girl who was on the opposite end of the aisle. And I remember thinking around, because this was around the election time, I remember thinking, oh, they're going to break up for sure, because there's no way, especially with like the kinds of elections that we have here. Like, it's so divisive. I'm like, they are not going to like survive this. Yeah, they're still together. So you're probably going
to
be fine.
I kind of feel like it's almost impossible to completely separate, because if I'm really close with somebody, and I'm speaking to them on a day-to-day, I'm talking to them about things that I'm reading in the news, things that I'm passionate about. So if there's something that is going on politically that is really getting underneath my skin, when we're catching up with each other at the end of the day, I'm probably going to say something about it. Like, oh my God, I can't believe blank happened, or I can't believe this is going on, or that. So it's probably naturally going to come out. So you're not just talking about politics. You really are talking about things that are going on in your life that you're just saying that I can't share with you.
Which, if you both can be chill about it, could be cool, because then you can actually get a different perspective, and that can be really valuable to showing you things you didn't even think about. But if you're going to butt heads and fight about it all the time, and then your relationship is no longer safe for you to be yourself and talk about whatever you want, that's a problem.
Here's the thing now is that I don't know that politics is interpreted anything differently now than good and bad. Your candidate is bad. Mine is good. So if you're associating with a bad person, then I have to question who you are.
And it seems like it would, if you're this passionate about politics, it would go well beyond the election, because it's going to always be a reason to kind of have a conversation that's in line with politics. So if this is a passion for both of y'all and y'all both are genuinely on the other side of it, I could see how it would affect how you look at your partner, and that would affect the relationship.
Well, it's one of those things that can either bring you closer together or something that's going to divide you more. And it kind of sounds like you're more on the divisive side. Like, some people enjoy differences. Like, they get off on like understanding somebody else's perspective, and it makes them feel smarter. It makes them feel like they understand the world better. But some people feel like if you disagree with me, then there's a big rift between us. So I think it's probably going to push you guys apart as the election gets closer.
Maddie, can two people that are on completely different sides of the political spectrum continue to date?
Yes, they can. My best friend's parents are on complete opposite ends of the aisle, and yesterday was their 30th wedding anniversary.
Is that right? And they talk about politics all the time.
Yeah, I mean, they jokingly, you know, like, we'll have little spats over it and stuff like that, but they're like, I mean, we love each other. Like, why would we let that get in the way of us loving each other?
Yeah, amen to that. Bingo. So long as they are open to each other's opinions, then that's great, but it feels like to me that now we're living in a place like where I'm right, you're wrong, and you can't change that, so why are we even going to talk about it?
Get it? The Burt Show.
So this is a nice, nice segue to a policy change the Burt Show is making this year. It's a big one. It's going to change everything for us this year. I suggested to the show a couple of weeks ago that based on the last election and the friction that was there, that the Burt Show establishes a policy. I hit that one pretty good. On the Burt Show in 2024. Nice! Yay! Zero! Here's how we feel about it, you guys. We were talking about this a couple of weeks ago. It does us no good. You know, at the end of the day, you know, with the last election, I think it was just so incredibly heated. I don't think so. The last election was so incredibly heated, right? And it is, at the end of the day, a morning show, a radio show, is a popularity contest, right? So for us to be able to come on here and express how we're feeling about a certain candidate, one way or the other, this is eliminating half of our audience, okay? And to be totally honest with you, most of this studio leans to the left, right? I think I'm probably most to the right, and I consider myself moderate. Although, Abby, I think that you have some moderate tendencies also.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in a family that leans more conservative, but I would say, like, as a woman who's grown up in a different environment and has enriched myself in a more diverse culture, I think I definitely probably lean more where you are, where mm-hmm. it's like you have some things that you're more on the right, some things that you're more on the left. So I'm in the middle. I'm Switzerland.
It's really frustrating. Again, here we are. And again, this is the last time we're going to be talking about politics. I just think that you guys are going to be inundated with it. We all talked about this. You guys are going to be inundated with this. There is no place for you to run or hide when it comes from the passion of politics. And there's going to be arguments going on in your real life. We just feel like you don't want to turn the radio on and hear the same thing in this format. If you want that, then you go to the AM stations or the political stations, and that's where you're going to go if this is your political season. But that's not what we do, man. I mean, we're not political pundits. We're not experts. We are no different than you guys. We're emotional about our candidates also. And we don't want to come in here and have that kind of friction. And we're assuming that you guys don't want to feel that friction or listen to it before you get to work or you get to school or whatever.
It's so important to have an escape, too. I told you guys, I think it was last year, I was really down in the dumps and I just felt like everything was awful. And then I took myself off social media and I stopped reading political headlines and like big bad news headlines. And how I felt about the world completely changed. And it just taught me, like, it's cool to immerse yourself in that, but when you're surrounded by it 24/7, it'll drag you down. So you need to identify places where you can go to just escape for a while.
I will say the same thing this year that I said 4 years ago, and that is I feel politically homeless. Nobody fits me, right? One's too far to the right. One's too far to the left. I thought maybe there was a guy in the middle that I was starting to follow Kennedy, like, even though he had some freaky conspiracy theories, I thought, okay, maybe he's going to be the whistleblower in government. Then last week he comes out and says, I'm thinking about having Aaron Rodgers as my vice president. Damn it!
That's what did it for you?
Now I can't even look at him, man. So I don't know where to go with it. I'm frustrated. I'm sure you guys are frustrated with it also. And to wake up in the morning and have to listen to that and listen to that frustration when you're so serious about it. And there is a lot on this election. And I just want to remind you, as this is the last time we're talking about politics before we go away from it, is that keep this in mind. And this is really, really important. You are being manipulated online, period. When you click on an article that is conservative, the algorithm says, oh, in order for me to keep this person online, I need to continue to feed them conservative information. Same when it comes to liberalism. You click on a Joe Biden article, it's going to say, oh, they spent 15 minutes on a Joe Biden article. All of a sudden, you're going to be getting article after article and influencer after influencer that is making your view on the world so narrow that when somebody else has a different opinion, you're like, how is that even possible? When all the information I get says the whole world is against you, when the truth of the matter is they're getting information saying the whole world is against you.
Yeah, I'm so glad we're not diving into politics. A, because I would sound stupid if I tried to talk about politics, period.
Oh, honey, you don't need that.
I went to school to make fart jokes and talk about Kim Kardashian on the radio. That's what I signed up for. I'm not here to educate anybody on what they should believe. I'm glad that you guys weren't afraid to do it before this, because I think it speaks to, you know, you guys wanting to stand up for what you believe in and you want to talk about things that are important to you. But I've always felt like entertainment and politics should be separate. I wouldn't want to turn on CNN and see Taylor Swift, just like I wouldn't want to turn on The Burt Show and see CNN.
There you go.
Say less. Abby said it best for me. I have never been a big political guy. I would sound like a complete idiot, and I'm very happy that we don't have to talk about it either, because I want to escape.
Yeah, I assure you, we are going to sound like complete idiots on other topics. We don't need to add this one as well. That's what we do.
Let's add politics to the list.
The Burt Show. Real idiots.
Get it? The Burt Show.
Time to get buzzed on the hot goss from Hollywood with Abby. It's the Burt Show's Entertainment Buzz.
Child star Drake Bell's co-star Josh Peck is speaking out about his child abuse case. This is your trigger warning right here. We're going to be talking about Drake Bell, who's recently revealed that he was at the center of a sexual abuse case when he was a teen star on Nickelodeon. So a lot of people were wondering why Josh Peck, who was his co-star in Drake and Josh, hasn't said anything. Drake Bell went on the Quiet On Set docuseries and revealed that he was at the center of this sexual abuse case where one of his dialect coaches, or his dialogue coach at Nickelodeon, did unspeakable things to him as a child and assaulted him. And he has finally come out and posted on Instagram that they had spoken privately, but now he's putting out a public statement saying that he hopes that this will lead to change in Hollywood. He says, "I want to give my support for the survivors who were brave enough to share their stories of emotional and physical abuse on Nickelodeon. Children should be protected. Reliving this publicly is incredibly difficult, but I hope it can bring healing for the victims and their families, as well as necessary change to our industry." So I'm glad this is all getting called out, because the fact that this was a secret for years is heartbreaking. I think a lot of people saw Drake Bell kind of go downhill in the last couple of years. He's had some very weird situations that he's been in where people are kind of like side eye, child star gone off the rails. But I think having the context of knowing what he went through as a kid is making people have a lot more empathy for him.
Yeah, I've got a very hard line about stuff like this, man. I think if you're found guilty of stuff like this, there's no punishment that's harsh enough. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. Well, thank God the guy who was found guilty ended up going to jail. But then I saw, I think it was in the interview with Dan Schneider, who's at the center of all these hostile work environment allegations for Nickelodeon. He said that he was then hired by the Disney Channel, like right after he got out of jail. And I'm like, how could anybody allow that? That's what I heard in the interview. But
money, man.
Yeah. But it's, I mean, like, can you not hire anybody else? Like, hire the guy who didn't go to prison. Like, I'm sure there's hundreds of people that want to work for the Disney Channel and would do a damn good job at it. So don't hire the guy that literally got convicted. Mm-hmm. But anyway,
you can talk yourself out of a lot of things if you want to make money. Right?
Yeah, absolutely. Unfortunately. Anyway, Ricky Martin's dad is actually the one who encouraged him to come out when his team wouldn't allow him. So Ricky Martin is an artist I listened to growing up. Living the Vida Loca was a song that I have like very early videos of me like as a kid dancing to in my family room.
She banged TRL back in the day.
Yeah, man.
And he didn't come out until he was 38 years old in 2010. In a letter that he posted to Twitter, he said that he was closeted for so many years because his managers wanted him to stay silent. He said this on Andy Cohen's show.
What was your team telling you at that time?
Don't. No, this is going to be the end of your career. Don't. Right. You don't need to. Why? Shut up. Everybody knows around you. You don't have to tell the world. Your friends know. Your family know. Why do you need to stand in front of the camera and talk about it? They didn't understand the importance of it.
To me, it's so important because you're not allowing someone to be who they truly are. Like, that's what, how is that not so important to allow somebody whose entire career is based off of their musical talent and who they are? Why would you not want them to embrace everything that makes them them?
It's the same conversation we just had. It comes down to money. Right? Because he was a sex symbol at the time, right? Women were buying his albums. You'd go to the concerts. They were filled with women. And then he comes out as gay. And of course, his team is going to go, well, if you do that, we'll lose millions of dollars. So they're trying to talk him out of it, right?
I completely agree. I mean, you would think we would live in a world where whatever your sexual preference is, you wouldn't have to announce it because straight people don't come out and say, hey, I'm straight. But at the end of the day, because of the position he was in, it makes sense why he had to live true to himself.
Look, we saw this on a much smaller scale with our former intern, then producer, who's now working in Nashville as a news anchor, Blake, who came out on The Burt Show. On a much smaller scale, this poor dude like couldn't live his authentic self, and then he gets this great job in Nashville, and he's also wondering, like, if I come out, are they going to fire me? Is this going to be accepted by Nashville? And that was just a short career. Imagine this dude having to hold it until he's 38 years old.
Yeah, and it took a lot of bravery, so that when I found out that it was his dad that actually pushed him to go public, I thought it was incredible.
So my father's a psychologist, and he's the one that
Interesting.
And he told me, Rick, you need to come out. Wow. Especially when I became a father, he said, what are you going to teach your kids to lie?
Wow.
You got to be open. I want to help you.
Wow.
How can we do this? And I'm like, all right, Dad, I'm working on it. But obviously, when I did it, I wrote a letter and I tweeted it.
How did it feel sending that?
Oh, my God. Can I do it again?
Yes. Right.
Yeah, I can only imagine the relief he felt that he finally didn't have to lie to millions and millions of people that follow him.
It must feel, in a lot of ways, like jumping off an emotional cliff. You know, like you're just not exactly sure what's going to happen. You have a chute on you, but you're not sure that it's actually going to deploy or not. So when you're telling the rest of the world, this is my authentic self, and things work out well in Ricky's case and Blake's case, it's wonderful to hear, but how many stories have we heard where that chute doesn't deploy with the family and they end up ostracizing you and we're still living on that big time?
Yeah. For more stories, head to the Burt Show podcast on your favorite listening platform.
Hey, the Burt Show.
Look, show chemistry is everything. Everything in studio, out of studio. So why would we risk that? And I'm afraid we are walking into a hornet's nest here, maybe, with Katie and Amber.
We're not going to risk it. We're going to prevent it from being a risk, you know?
So you guys are on the same team here when it comes to this certain friend.
Well, that's what we're about to figure out.
Okay.
All right? And that's why Amber's in here with me right now.
All right, what do we got?
All right, so, you know, I don't ever want to come in the way of my friend's love,
sure,
right? And their potential to find their soulmate. But, however, one of my friends is now entering the dating world with Amber's best friend.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, that's occurring.
So, of all the women in our city, how is it possible these two knew each other and you guys know who they are?
It's the Burt Show's fault because they met at the Bitter Ball.
Oh,
good. It's your fault, Burt.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That's the point of it, eh? Yeah.
So we do this event on Valentine's Day for singles, and we call it Bitter Ball. And from time to time, it works.
Yeah.
Where single people end up showing up, and then we'll get emails later on in the year or years saying, we met at Bitter Ball, and we're married now. So this is what it's designed for, but you guys don't really seem very happy about it.
Oh, no. I was actually a little bit happy. I said, it's not about being happy. I just don't care. It's not my business. That's what I feel. I want everyone to be happy, but I feel like these days when it comes to meeting somebody new, everybody wants to get so serious so fast. I remember growing up, I mean, I'm still growing up technically, but dating used to be about dating many people, trying to figure out what works for you, but now it feels like if I buy you a coffee or text you, now we're together. You know what I'm saying? And that's not where I'm at. I can't speak for Wes. That's what we're talking about. I ain't gonna lie. He knows what's up. I already told him. I can't speak for my best friend because that's my best friend. And I certainly can't speak for Katie's friend.
Is Wes the really excited guy?
Yeah.
Naturally, okay. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Naturally, yes. That is his default to just getting through stuff. I won't discuss the things that he is going through, but there is a lot at once. And so what he does, and actually I do the same thing, is we tend to be a little happier than people actually think that we are.
Okay,
as you know, funny people, the ones who are smiling the most, these are the ones you got to check on more so.
Yeah, he's fun to be around.
We're good at the mask.
He's very enthusiastic.
Yes,
he's fun to be around. He really is. So now you say it's none of your business.
Uh-huh.
That's not Katie's lane.
No, that is not my lane at all.
You don't do not my business.
No. Especially not when it comes to my friends and people who I trust. And so, you know, I'm getting to know Amber still. I know nothing about your friend. And this is where I'm like, I'm glad that they actually met because I know my friend, she needs a little bit of love in her life. She needs this.
Okay.
And she likes this guy. She's really excited.
Mm-hmm.
And typically when my friends date some guy, I don't really know anything about that guy. I just know the basics that they tell me. And then I'll do my own background check. But now I have the inside scoop.
Yeah.
Because that's Amber's best friend. So
right.
I'm like, how do I have this conversation? And that's why I want to ask you, Amber. I want to talk to this man. Oh. And see where his head is at.
Okay. All right, let me mix it up. Let me be the one to mix it up a little bit.
All right,
okay. Okay? So when somebody sets you up, they have instant credibility. If you respect Amber and you respect her values, then if this is her best friend, can't you say he has the same ones? So what do you need to know more than that?
Because, like I said, me and Amber are still getting to know each other.
Okay.
It'd be a different story if I've known Amber for years.
So you're
right?
Not really sure.
So you don't respect Amber's values,
no,
is what she's saying.
I do. But I'm still learning. So I still feel like I need to learn about him as well. But I didn't want to overstep because I know it's your best friend and go directly to him and say, hey, man, come here.
Well, I have a question for you guys. I'm wondering because Katie and her best friend are women. My best friend is a male. I'm wondering, it's because of the genders, does that change what we feel comfortable discussing, or does that change? Because, like, he's my best friend. We don't really talk about stuff unless he comes to me mm-hmm. and wants to have that conversation. I may ask questions, but if he decides he doesn't want to discuss it, then I let it go. And he'll come to me when he's ready. But I notice with female best friends, it's not that mm-hmm. simple. You know what I'm saying? So I'm wondering if that is the difference in this situation.
I think so. In terms of, like, relationships, I feel like in my experiences, men talk about their relationships less yes. to their friends than women talk to other women about their relationships. Mm-hmm. I feel like I go into a lot more detail, huh. and yeah. typically we're a little more surface level.
Yeah.
I think women also tend to be a little less honest when stuff isn't going right, because they want things to go so well that they won't always be upfront with their girlfriends if something's going awry. So I can see why Katie feels a little protective here.
Yes. Oh.
So I think I'm just going to relay my questions that I have for him to you.
Okay.
You report back. Okay?
I am here for this.
Thanks for listening. Get more Burt Show Fix at thebirdshow.com or follow us on social media at The Burt Show.